Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Okay. Tom is not here, but John Hooker is. Same spirit, right? Let's honor John. Could you stand? Just extend your hand. Father God, anoint this man who is anointed. Open his mouth, Father, and let your words come out of him. Thank you for putting your heart in him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I have actually a title. We are in a mission from God. So it kind of goes hand in hand with always what he's doing.
Amen.
I can't sing. I do have a video, though. Just kind of recap church history in about 10 seconds. God came, made man. Man was in the garden. We had everything we needed. Everything was fine. Feeding us. Everything was wonderful. And we even gave us freedom, which blows me away. And man chose not to trust God, chose not to believe that God was good and would continue to provide for him and all that good stuff. And they, you know, went outside his commandments. And then the fall and all that stuff, Old Testament, a lot of the bride is the church. Everybody gets that?
Yeah.
A lot of language throughout the Bible about the bride and we are the church, the organization is the church. So in the Old Testament, you'll read Hosea and some other areas, how the bride has been unfaithful. I mean, it's harsh, it's horrible. The bride, we could not do it. We've always failed over and over again, not faithful, adultery, all that stuff. And then Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem us, redeem the world, redeem the church. To me, us and the church were one and the same. He came to save us and this goofy organization of the church. Yeah. The institution of the church. Can we all admit it's kind of whack sometimes? It doesn't make sense. Well, good example is this morning is I did all my scripture in the ESV version. I didn't know after 10 years of being here, we don't have the ESV on the computer. I don't know where I've been. And then I asked Katie, I was like, does church end at 11 or 11:30?
Oh, God.
I did not know we ended 11:30. So God uses imperfect people all the time to accomplish what he set forth for us to accomplish. So Jesus came, you know, conquered sin, conquered death, rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. Sent the Holy Spirit to finish what he started.
Right.
And the church. Us, the church, we're here to finish what he started.
Yeah.
We're not here to be defeated.
Yeah.
We're not here to, no matter whatever we do, we're going to fail and he's going to have to come and rescue us away. He's called us. We are the victorious people. We are a victorious church.
Yes.
We do not live in defeat. He didn't create us to live in defeat. He's created us to live in victory.
Yeah.
So, I want to share a couple of scriptures just to kind of reiterate what I've talked about. But I need to show a video too, just to kind of hopefully get it to hit home. Hang on.
Yeah.
It's two people, Jake and Elwood. They grew up in an orphanage. The orphanage is being taken over because a developer wants to develop the area and they can't pay their mortgage. So they need to get their band back together to save the orphanage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go ahead.
We're on a mission from God. Matt, me and Ellen, put the band back together. And you gotta understand that this is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing. Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matthew to do is a holy thing? You see, we are on a mission from God. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Yep.
Believe it or not, we are on a mission from God. God works in mysterious ways. I don't know why he would use us and try to get us to organize in this institution of the church to make it happen in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. But that's the way he's called it out. That's the way his plan is. As imperfect and risky as it seems to me, that's what we're dealt with.
Yep.
Right.
And,
right.
And one thing I want to mention is people, I mean, sometimes you're in that mindset of, I'm in a battle. Yeah, we're in a battle, but the battle's been won. And you feel like no matter what we're going to do, we're going to lose. I'm going to lose. And Jesus is going to have to come rescue us. That's garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're in a battle and you think you're losing, you're in desperate straits. You're fighting from a place of desperation.
Right.
And desperate people, they make bad decisions.
Right.
Desperate people do crazy things.
Right.
He has not called us to be a desperate people. He has called and created you to be a people of victory.
Yeah.
You're, everything that you're doing is from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. And it's going to get better and better and better and better.
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's the ground rules. Revelation 22, 12 to 17. End of the Bible. This is what Jesus says. This is what God says as he's finishing the Bible. As he's closing solitude, if you will. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each for what he has done. Ouch. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside the gates are the dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, anyone who loves and practices falsehood. But Jesus, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star.
Yes.
The Spirit and the bride say, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the church say, come.
Yes.
And let the one who hears say, come.
Yes.
And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.
Wow. Jesus. Good.
So, and then he goes on and talks about the word and don't mess with the word or you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm coming back. But in the meantime, he encourages everyone to come. The tree of life is the church. The tree of life is the Holy Spirit. So if everybody's coming to the church and an organization of the church, what the heck? It seems pretty messed up sometimes. But be encouraged, this institution, it is important. It's God's great plan. There is no plan B.
Right.
This is it, guys. And it is vital. Jesus came and gave his life for the church too.
Yeah.
The church, the world was a mess. And he gave his life to redeem the church to himself, redeem us to himself, but this organization of the church to himself also. So it is important and it is relevant. So many times in our world, it's like, it's old and ancient writings and doesn't apply to today. Everything that's happening today applies to his word, to his commands, to Jesus. He is relevant for every situation, every problem, anything you're facing, the world is facing, he is the answer.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't matter if it's O'Fallon, Missouri, or the Middle East, or Africa, it's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's the solution. We have the solution. And frankly, you know, church, it's worth our time.
Yeah.
You know, what's the most valuable thing we have in our lives? Time. That's it. So it's worth our time, our efforts. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's worth it. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's working. Trust me, it's working. It's worth our time. It's worth our effort. Fortunately, I get to work with churches. We build churches and other buildings and stuff. So I get to meet a lot of great people. And I tell you, over the past 10, 15 years, I've seen it on more than one occasion where a local church is helping the church right next to them. I mean, literally, church in St. Charles, older congregation, pastor was retiring. They gave their building and their congregation to another church. And so the church grew it back up, and they just released it to the people that are running it now to run it their own way. I had a guy that in town where he's starting a church, he was a part of another church just going there, and he's like, we want to bless you, we want to give you money, we want you to plant out in strength. He's like, dude, I am literally going to be right across the highway from you. I'm like, no, that's fine, it's all in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, we're for you, we're for the success of the church. And that's what I love about Life Church. We pray, this praying for two churches stuff we've been doing from the beginning, it's not just, you know, for show. It's real. Every time we pray for two churches, we mean it. We want to see other churches succeed. We know we're not the only game in town. We know we can't do it ourselves.
Right.
And we have no desire to do it ourselves. And somebody leaves Life Church, we don't say, oh, they left the church. No, they're going to that other church down the street and they're serving there. It's okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it's bigger than us.
Yes.
It's all, it's us, but it's bigger than us.
Yes.
But then there's a problem. We'll see division. And sometimes people like to talk. You know, people like to talk about negative stuff. I don't know why. It seems like that's the most fun banter is if it's negative. And it goes with churches, too. You'll see people talking negatively about other churches. And I would just like to say, let's not do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Amen.
It's nothing new. Jesus dealt with it himself. I want to read John 7, 37, 44 in the ESV, but I don't know what you got up there. Verse 37, on the last days of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, again, thirsting, tree of life, rivers of life, all that, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as the Spirit has not been given, because Jesus has not been glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? Duh. So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest Jesus, but no one laid hands on him. So here they are. They got Jesus in their midst, and they're divided. They're fighting. They're like, this isn't the Messiah. He's going to be from Bethlehem, David. And they're like, duh, that's him. But they didn't realize it. Church split, people split, were angry. And I believe it's because they didn't know Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Mm. If they did, they would have known all about him.
Yeah.
Church wouldn't have been dividing and infighting and splitting. Because if you have that relationship, if you have that intimacy with him, all the rest will kind of fall into place.
Yep.
Yeah.
When we for our brothers down the street, across the country, within our doors, we'll be for each other.
Yes.
Because it comes from that relationship and abiding in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
There's three or four things that I always try to remind myself of. Not to do. Isolation. Isolation. A lot of people, if you're an introvert, you're like, this is easier. I like this better. I'd rather be by myself. And you may think it's safer. It's not safer. Isolation is not safer. It's dangerous. Because if you're isolating yourself from other people, from the church, you're really setting yourself up for failure. I believe that's one of the enemy's biggest tools is isolation. Get you out of the body of Christ, get you on your own, get you isolated, and you're just set up for a lot of horrible, difficult situations. As hard as it is, and as wacky as some of the people are in the church, I'm included, please don't isolate. Be a part of community, be a part of the church. It's worth the effort. It's worth the bumps and bruises and all that. But if you're by yourself, it's not safer. It's very dangerous. So stay within your group, within your community at the Church of Believers. Second, do not judge. It's easy. I could always say, that guy, he shoulda, coulda. Funny story is, my wife had a really nice Audi. It's Q7, all blacked out, nickel rims, a nice little low profile tires. It was nice. I really probably bought it for myself and not her, but it was her car. So she drove it and she kept rubbing the wheels up against the curb and just chewing them up. It was horrible. And when I was like, hon, it's like, well, that thing is so hard to drive. It's clunky. And so finally we're driving. We got one wheel left. It's not chewed up. I'm driving, I'm always have these conversations, not in moment of conflict, when things are calm. So it's calm. So my best, calmest voice, I'm like, Katie, please, could you just please just try, to be careful when you get up against curbs and just please. And as I'm saying it, I drive into the gas station, I rub up against a curb. She goes, see, I told you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, all right, hon, you're right. You're right. It's a little hard to drive sometimes. So don't judge. Until you're behind the wheel and experiencing what's going on in their head, their heart, their life experiences, you just don't know. So be gracious. Try not to judge everybody else and just love them. So, because you don't know. We really don't know. So don't be like me. Third thing is be unoffendable. This is probably the hardest because we all have our own self-will and I don't know what it is. We're just imperfect. But be unoffendable. I like to say that we're all servants. We're servants in the kingdom of God. We're here to serve each other, serve God, serve the church. And servants don't have rights. Servants only have responsibilities. So just remember, that self-righteousness, we don't have it. We're here to serve the kingdom. We've got responsibilities. That's the core of it. And then your identity is in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. He was never offended, and he had plenty of opportunity. So be unoffendable. And part of that is that relationship with Jesus. The closer you're with him, the more intimate you are, the softer your heart is, and the easier it is not to take offense.
Right.
We can only be responsible for ourselves. We can't be responsible for what other people do. So in that vein, I work with churches, which is full of people and have people that are leading it. And they're not always perfect. So I've been through it. I've seen it. Church we're working with, and I'm only sharing this because I hopefully it will help some other people. Because it really helped me. In church, nobody knows, not even in this area. They're just kind of, well, not kind of. They're accusing us of like lying and our people lying. And it was all not true. And it was really bugging me. It was making me mad. I wanted to kill somebody. I didn't. That's all internal thoughts. Did I just say that out loud? Sorry. Whoops. So it was really bothering me. And even, some of our employees, it was bothering them. And we'd get into this little, yeah, they're here. And, one night I was sleeping and God still speaks to us in dreams. He does. He says, your old men will dream dreams. So I guess I'm old. So I had a dream. I was sleeping, obviously, because I was asleep. And I was, I was in a big city, and I was getting ready to cross a road right here. And then on the other side of the road, there was like these huge trees and a church, like an old traditional church on the other end of it. And all of a sudden this car flies by, and these couple guys are hanging out the window, and they're, like yelling at me. So, I just like, come on, bring it on, guys. And I just continued, and it's not the way to do it. It's a dream, it wasn't real. I kept walking, and I noticed they hung a left, drove down the street, parked in front of the church, and I'm walking through these big trees, just kind of standing there, and they park in front of the church, and they start walking towards me. And then they grab another guy. I'm like, all right, here we go, this dream. So I'm standing, they come up, run, they get so far away, and they all start picking up rocks.
Oh my God.
They start throwing rocks at me. And I'm like, what are you doing? And the rocks kept falling short. They couldn't hit me. I'm like, what? And finally, I picked up a rock, and I threw it. And I was like, and then I woke up. And immediately, God just kind of spoke to me. He's like, don't throw rocks. Don't throw rocks at your brothers and sisters in Christ. And even if you're falsely accused of something, God will protect you.
Yeah.
They couldn't hit me with their rocks. God protected me.
Yeah, right.
But then my responsibility is don't throw rocks.
Yeah, right.
Don't speak ill of my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
Even if you've been mistreated, be responsible. Don't throw rocks. And God will protect you.
Yeah.
And ultimately they apologized and asked for forgiveness, and I didn't. No, I did. Sorry. can you put up 1 John 4:9? I just want to read this scripture. It's about love, and this really kind of sums up everything. If we get that place, He is love. If we get to that place of love in our life, that we lead with that, it changes everything. So this is what God has to say. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to pay for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's pretty tough stuff. I mean, it's pretty direct and to the point that everything is birthed from that love. The love of the Father, the love of God in us, and it has to flow through us to others.
Amen.
It's even strong enough that God says, if we don't love our brothers, then we are a liar. He abides in us. That love abides in us. And the way that is manifest and walked its way out is by us loving each other.
Yeah.
Even the, we'll call them the unlovable, the people that are difficult to love, the people that not just downtrodden, but have different views than us, that believe differently than us, that may not even believe in God. We're called to love them. How is the church, our mission from God, how are we going to finish what God started if we don't love the unlovely? If we don't love not just each other, that's usually the easiest thing, it's easy to love people that believe the same as you, that kind of look the same as you, that live life, same social group as you. That's the easy part. How about the people that disagree with you, that hate you, that, you know, are contrary to the word of God, that don't, those people need our love more than anything. Because we are the answer, we are the solution, and we need to act like it.
Yeah.
We need to conduct ourselves like we do have the answer.
Amen.
We do have the solutions. Now, it's all in humility. You know, they say, I think it's in Matthew 18, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the humble. So yeah, on one hand, we've got the answer. We know it all. Kind of as a joke. But we need to remain humble and love those that need our love the most.
Amen.
So does that mean we have to agree on everything in the church? Even within our walls, are we required to have the exact same beliefs on, because God is massive. The mystery of God is just, we'll never figure it out. No, nobody in this room will ever figure it all out. And we're all going to have different views and different slants on things. And that's okay. And sometimes there'll even be disagreements in the church, if you will. That's okay. But how we go about that is critical. I'll read one more scripture, Acts 15, 36, 41. It's about Paul and Barnabas, close brothers in Christ, friends. They had a situation where John Mark, they wanted, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark. Paul said, nope, he messed up in the past. I don't want to bring him with us. He's let us down. And they had a sharp disagreement. Anyway, I'll read. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where you proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. So basically he let them down. He must have not showed up for a meeting. Who knows? And there arose a sharp disagreement. So there's a sharp disagreement between the two, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed and have commanded by the brothers in the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia and strengthening the churches. So do we always have to agree? No. Is sometimes there going to be separation? Yes. I mean, I know it's the elephant in the room. Nobody likes to talk about it, but that happens.
Yeah.
You know, people go their different ways. But if you look, the church was strengthened.
Yes.
It didn't cause the church to falter or people not to thrive. I believe they did it the right way because they were in tight relationship with each other. I believe they were in tight relationship with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They were with Jesus. That was their point of identifying with each other was Jesus. That was the highest priority. That was everything that was important to them was Jesus and the church and how that was being played out. They went their separate ways, and even John Mark came back and helped. Paul asked for John Mark later, you know, in Ephesians, I think it was, to come and help and serve with him. So you know they were all still together. Even though they were serving in different areas, different capacities, it was okay. But they did it the right way. So the big question is, does our disagreements in the church and those around cause those around us to thrive or to get hurt? So I guarantee we're a room full of people. We've been through bad church leadership, church splits. It just happens in life. I just say, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but don't let that hinder you and stop you from building the kingdom, from being involved in the church. One of the most important things, really, on this planet is the organization of the church.
Right.
So don't let your past experiences and men's failings hinder you from living out your life in a productive, beautiful way that honors God, that helps build the kingdom, that strengthens the church, strengthens the body, that strengthens the one next to you. Please, just don't let that stop. stop you.
Amen.
So in close, right on time. Good. In close, don't throw stones at your brothers and sisters. Just a reminder, don't throw any stones. And just remember, God will protect you. They might be chucking rocks as hard as they can at you. It's all right. God will protect you. He'll take care of you. So don't worry. Protect your heart. Foster that relationship with Jesus day in and day out. Know him. Let his presence and him just be the most intimate person that you know. Every aspect that your desire is to know him more, to be with him more, and to foster that relationship. And then you will become bulletproof. And just learn to abide in that love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Abide in that love so that everything you do, you lead with love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
When conflict comes, somebody kicks you in the shin, you're going to lead with love. Now, granted, you're not a doormat. You know, everybody knows that context. You know, protect yourself, you know, if there's physical harm, or get out of that situation. Yeah. And last and foremost is just forgive.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been hurt by the church, hurt by anybody in the church, just forgive. Mm-hmm. Life's short, you know, because where there's unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger, and all these things just start to breed inside of you, and it will destroy you. I think Joyce Meyer said it best, is unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. It will kill you. It will eat you alive. And then once you get through that and past it, it's the most freeing experience. And then love will just flow.
Amen.
Amen. Can we stand and I'll pray? We'll have a prayer team up front. So please come if you want prayer for anything. That'd be awesome. Lord, we just say that we love you. That we still believe in what you set in motion years and years ago, God. We believe in you and we believe in your great plan. We believe in the church. We believe it's worth our sacrifice, our effort, our time, Lord God. We will continue to serve.
Yes.
To serve with a glad heart, a loving heart, with joy in our heart. And Lord, we commit to love those outside of these walls. To love those that don't love us, God. To show them how amazing you are and how magnificent you are and how much you care for them and love them.
That's right.
Lord, we just, we'll be that vessel. Yes. We'll be that type of organization.
Yes, Lord.
We know it's not all about us, but we promise you, Lord, we will do our part. As a body of believers, Lord, to strengthen your kingdom, to make that bride just as beautiful as you've intended it to be.
Yes.
We love you. We love you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So if anybody wants prayer, especially if you've ever been dinged up by the church, hurt by the church, please come and get prayer and just let it be gone and be free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.